that's my cue how to cut and when I start things. So I have a cut point, and then I know on the wave file where to start and stop, because other than that, there's the only thing I cut. Welcome to the Silas Drum Bubble. It's behind the scenes, pulling the curtain back. I am Scotty Waz. That is Jen the History Girl. I am. You can find us at SDR Strum Bubble on Twitter. Good night, everybody. No. This week it is playoff time. Playoffs! Playoffs! Lucky we win another game! One of the best clips ever in sporting history, Jim Mora. So, the playoffs have started. We've got some wacky things to talk about, including one thing that the NHL has put out, which we'll do a couple on here. And I don't understand the algorithms of it all. I don't understand what the hell's going on with it. But apparently the NHL has decided, you know what, fans? You've done so good in All-Star voting in the past. We're going to let you vote for the greatest team, Stanley Cup winning team.
Well, and considering
history.
That most fans these days, like their history of like their concept of NHL history only goes back to like 2000, right? Like,
yeah, but again,
I mean, there's us, like people like us and older fans who remember, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s,
sure.
But
and today,
but you know, it's most fans today have a short memory.
But
so
you gotta also, we're mid 30s too, so like, I'm sure people when we were getting into things like in the early 90s, the people from the 70s were just like, these kids don't know jack, kind of thing. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Remember Odie Cleghorn? Some old timer says, "Like, dude, you're 32. You don't know Odie Cleghorn either. So, eat a bag." So this week we'll talk just the different changes in formats. Like we said, the greatest teams, and we'll talk some wacky stories. Jen had along. It's my birthday today, so I'm just gonna go on cruise control. So I'm just gonna set up Jen, and she's gonna knock out of the park, and I'm just, I don't know, go get a coffee. I don't drink coffee, so that'd be really weird, just me standing there with a coffee, just not doing anything. Let's not talk about how I had to play off hockey, because the playoff hockey is infuriating me. And you saw firsthand, it's just...
Yeah, it makes me a little nervous sometimes.
God damn it, Capitals. Like, honestly, like, it's been 40-some years. How about a break? Like, you know... How about something? How about something where we don't win a first round and, oh, the Penguins are waiting the second round? Like, Jesus.
Could we have just a little bit of joy, please?
God damn it. Like, best team in the regular season, terrible everywhere else.
Yeah.
What can you do? All right, well, we'll start with the playoff formats where I think we should do a change in the playoff formats where you split the season in two halves. And that's where
just how we started.
Exactly. The NHL started to 1917-18 because they're not going to let you forget about it this year. Mm-hmm. We've been around 100 years! Woo! Split in two halves. Winner of each half faced off in a two-game total goal series for the NHL championship, which was called the O'Brien Cup.
Yep. Yeah.
And then they would face the PCHA, Pacific Coast Hockey Association champion, at best of five. For the Stanley Cup. So that first year, we had ourselves the Toronto Hockey Club against the Montreal Canadiens. Toronto Hockey Club going because of more goals. They each won a game. But goal total differential allowed Toronto HC to go there. And then they beat the Vancouver Millionaires. Now, of course, interesting scenario on how to do it because of the championships in the each half. It's almost like minor league or baseball is today where you have a champion in the first half and a champion in the second half. And they finish for the championship overall. You didn't know that, did you?
I did not.
No. Yeah, there's two. And I think it's like lower ball. Like, actually, maybe even triple A. But I know at least single A ball, two halves of the season. And then the winner of the first half goes on to face the winner of the second half of the championship. Because it's usually shorter seasons in single A ball.
Okay.
Because it's like the kids just out of college kind of thing.
Yeah.
So there's that. By the way, I'm getting this timeline from... There's not much on sportsnet.ca that I like, but Luke Fox does a good job of breaking things down from a fundamental standpoint. So I'm just lifting from him. Stealing bits from him. Then the next year, 18-19, best of seven series, the NHL final was.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it was a thing where Montreal won, beat Ottawa, then the influenza happened.
Yep.
Spanish flu.
Yeah, the pandemic. The series was mostly finished. I think it was game 5 that they ended up canceling. Like they'd gotten into the series. And then the majority of the Montreal team was in the hospital in Seattle. And they said, you know, we could try and get some replacement players, you know, we'll just delay, get some replacement players and try to continue. And the other team said, no, that's not fair. You guys got this far. It's not fair to have to send in replacements. And then Montreal said, well, okay, well, we'll just forfeit the series to you because we can't go on. And again, the other team said, nope, that's not fair either. If we're going to beat you, we're going to beat you fair and square, not because of this freak happening, like this freak influenza
outbreak.
Yeah. So that's why it says no cup awarded, because one team tried to forfeit and the other one refused to accept it and refused to play under any other circumstances. So.
And that's why Seattle had to wait so long for a goddamn championship. Those hippies.
Yeah.
The next season was interesting because, again, the split half scenario. But Ottawa won both the games, so they didn't have to do an NHL final. won both seasons, and then they played against Seattle. And there you go. That's the flaw of the two-have situation. Mm-hmm. No championship series for the NHL. 1921-22, two regular season teams faced off against each other in a two-game total goal series for the NHL title, and then the NHL champ faced off against PCHA. The pro for this, Luke Fox says, sustained performance over the duration of full 24-game season. The con was after game one of the NHL championships, the Senators after taking game one of the NHL championship from the Senators 5-4, the St. Patrick's just iced the puck in game two and advanced because of a tie. Because playoff games can end in a tie.
Yeah.
Total goals again. Go from there. Expanded to 3 rounds, all won by the Ottawa Senators because it just meh. Mm-hmm. They were just that dominant.
They really were. That team was ridiculous with the number of Hall of Famers and scoring stars and just ridiculousness.
And then you added into the WCHL, the West Coast Hockey League, along with mm-hmm. the PCHA. So you get a free pass, a team getting a free pass into the Stanley Cup Final. In this case, the Edmonton Eskimos, as they were called. So that's a rough one. 23-24, same situation. And the winner of the PCHA WCHL playoff earned a bye into the Stanley Cup Final, and then the NHL champion faced the loser of that playoff game for the two championships, and then go on from there. And then the Hamilton Tigers situation.
Yeah.
So, this is when 24-25, Hamilton won the regular season, scheduled to play the total goals, but then compensation did happen.
Yes, they said, you only paid us for a regular season. You haven't paid us to play playoff games, and we want to be paid accordingly. And the league said, screw you.
Screw you, taxpayer. And then they went on, and it was the Habs against the Leafs. And then that allowed Victoria to win the Stanley Cup. There we go. Two-game total goals. Second and third-place team squared off against the first-place team, blah, blah, blah. All right, so now the 10 teams in 26-27 divided into two divisions.
American and Canadian?
Yep. In each division, the winner of a two-game total goal series between the second and third seeds faced off against the first-place team in a two-game total goal season. It was a situation where meh, things happen, and then the 27 Cup final had two ties.
Yeah,
because Ottawa just tied everybody, so you finally get a proper bracket. But total goals, mm-hmm. I understand why they thought total goals was a good idea.
Yeah, I'm not entirely clear on that one either. I've never seen the explanation, like a first-hand source, mm-hmm. I guess, explanation. So I have no help for you there.
It's fine. The radical thing happened in 2829. So you had five series now, essentially, at this point. But it was a crossover situation where Series A was the first in the Canadian division, took on the first in the American division. Then Series B was the second in the Canadian division, taking second, and then third and third.
Mm-hmm.
And then the winner of Series B, which was the winner of the second place games, and the winner of Series C, which is the battles third place teams face off against each other, and then they get the winner of Series A. So essentially, it put a lot more impetus on getting good in the regular season, because
yeah.
if you won that and then you won your playoff game, you get right into the Stanley Cup final. So. And also had crossover, too,
mm-hmm.
and avoided the possible idea of an All-American or had the idea of All-American on Canadian format. But it got a little confusing because everyone got a bye.
Yeah.
And kind of things just it kind of went on along there until 38-39. Two-division system. Again, three series, but everyone gets in the playoffs. One versus two. It's almost like a page format where one versus two, three versus mm-hmm. four, five versus six. When the original sixth had happened, top four then.
Yes.
Top four, then one versus three, two versus four. Very odd format. And then we finally get to the real format. 67-68. When the expansion had happened. 12 teams were there. 6-team divisions. And then again, the 1-3-2-4 situation, and that also mm-hmm. guaranteed an expansion team into the Stanley Cup final.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was something. Divisional rounds, and this is kind of when divisional format, people seem to like that, which mm-hmm. you can go either way on that one. I'm very on the fence about it because, like, two straight years, the Metropolitan Division has been just dominant.
Mm-hmm.
And you see a really good team get taken out.
Yeah, it's that first round bounce that kills you.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
It's not so good, boss. Not so good. Then it's 74-75 when the 18 teams happened and the divisions happened. Seedings. New seedings happened. And it was 1-8 throughout the entire regular season.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all the divisions were there. Not really. Like, it wasn't... divisional play didn't really mean a damn thing.
No.
So... And this is also best... This is where preliminaries happen, where you had the best of... you had the best of three series.
Mm-hmm.
So you had the bottom eight... Or what is this? The 2 and 3 seeds of each four divisions were pulled together in preliminary rounds. So you had all that, and they were seeded that way. And they were restructured again for the regular mm-hmm. playoffs into the best of seven. Just really, really weird just how you have to reorganize and reshift everything. And then 79-80 was the real big change. 1-16. 16 teams get in.
Mm-hmm.
Number one seed faces 16 seed. Good luck, team. It becomes the NCAA basketball tournament at
basically.
That point. So you have that, and we almost kind of – and then reseed it and everything like that after that and mm-hmm. same format situation.
Yeah, well, they were always after the best cup final that they could produce, right,
mm-hmm.
for ratings and whatever. So, yeah, that's
– But it kind of killed a lot of things, too. It's just
yeah.
like – I mean, like I said, you can be one way or another about a divisional –
Mm-hmm.
divisional playoffs. It's not mm-hmm. as it creates rivalries, sure, but at the same time you're also killing really good teams
mm-hmm.
early off in the playoffs.
Oh yeah.
Which I mean you can get that with upset specials and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But how often does an upset special happen year after year after year?
Yeah. It's you don't get the Cinderella run too often.
No, not all the way through. I mean, you get a King's story every now and again, like from
sure.
2012, yeah.
Sure.
So,
was it the Oilers?
But they didn't win.
No, but it was a Cinderella
well,
run.
Same with the Flames.
Yeah.
2004.
Yeah.
But like, I don't think parody is as big of a thing now as it was in the early 2000s.
Nah.
Your good teams are good, and the crappy teams are crappy.
Yep.
The That's when 81-82 is when it goes back to divisional formats. And then you go on from there, and it was the best of five to start off with for the divisional semifinals. Mm-hmm. And then 86-87, it went from complete 7-7-7-7-7-7. 93-94, conferences. That's when we go to the 1-8 Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. Top two the division winners get the 1-2 seed. And as the things expand, we'll get to that in a second. And then it goes from a 2-3-2 format for the playoffs to a 2-2-1-1-1-1-1.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is when the Central and Pacific had the chance of picking their own
mm-hmm.
things. And you go from there. Obviously, situations, travel and all that other stuff, no home away pattern and things like that. When everything went to three divisions per conference, this is when you get the Southeast. When the Southeast gets a third division or, you know, third seed overall, when they have like 11 to 12 less points in the fourth seed.
Yeah.
Inside of those few years where the Caps were still pretty decent and the Hurricanes were still pretty decent, it was rough. Like, it was rough when you see the Southeast division only get one team in and they're just barely above 500. And then you had the present day kind of thing where it's just geographical style. Now we're mm-hmm. back to everything, back to the divisional thing, which rightly or wrongly, whatever. For you, best format is what? There's a lot to choose from.
Yeah. I guess I like what I grew up with, but that's because I grew up with it. So it's what I understand. But
so the 1-8?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, it's the 1-16 is garbage.
Yeah.
I will tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Because why even do it? Why?
Well, if you're going to do 1-16, why not 1-18? Like, why not?
Well, it's because numbers. Like, you have to.
The difference between 16 and 18, I guess. Those teams at 16 and 18? Like, whatever.
Well, I think if you're 13, you're 16, a number 16 overall seed may or may not beat the number one overall seed.
Yeah.
So you always have that thing, but at the same time, it's kind of a farce.
Yeah.
Almost. I don't know. I liked 1-8 seed, though, per conference. Divisionals are fine. But at the same time, it's kind of just, I mean, you get, I don't think they're, it creates rivalries, sure, but when you see these same teams over and over, it's not like it used to be where you can see like a Colorado come to Washington twice a year or something like that.
Right.
It's not as, you know, that's almost why I hate the Pacific Division in the NHLs, because they play each other every single damn weekend, and I get these press releases from Stockton. It's just like, oh, yeah, you're playing Ontario for the 15th time this year. It's absurd. And the same thing goes with this playoff matchup in the ECHL, Adirondack against Manchester. They play each other all the damn time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's rough. It's rough to get up for a rivalry. You just get sick of it. You get sick of seeing it.
It's basically predictable, right? Like, they've played each other 15 times already during the regular season. You've seen those games. You know how those games go.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get excited about it just because it's the playoffs. I mean, just because it's the playoffs doesn't mean something is fundamentally going to change about that matchup.
The rivalry is always going to be there. I mean, you're always going to have, I mean, hell, when Toronto moved back to the Eastern Conference from that weird Western Conference thing they had, there was still a rivalry against Detroit.
Sure.
When Detroit moved to the Eastern Conference, there's still that rivalry against Chicago. I mean, you're always going to have these rivalries. You don't have to have a playoff format based upon that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know. It just seems damn ridiculous to me.
I like the unpredictability of matchups, I guess.
Unpredictable how?
I like when it's two teams that you don't necessarily see matched up against each other. Like, it's not the same matchup as it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not.
Sure.
You know, Chicago versus Minneapolis or St. Paul, whatever.
Minnesota,
there we go. Words. Like, it was 2 years in a row, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like, to me, when it ends up being that same sort of pairing, year after year. I don't care. Like, you know? So I like the more unpredictable matchups because, you know, for me, Pittsburgh versus Columbus, sure, Pittsburgh's probably going to take that series, but that's not going to say Columbus can't come in and surprise you at the same time.
No, they haven't done much of that this playoff.
Yeah, they haven't. I keep hoping they will, but, you know.
We all do.
But there's that possibility.
So in the Eastern Conference this year, here's how the matchups would line up in the old format.
Okay.
Caps and Leafs would still be the same. Then it would be Montreal-Boston. Then it would be Pittsburgh-Ottawa. Columbus Rangers.
See, Columbus Rangers would be an interesting series.
Montreal Boston would be a good series.
Yeah,
like that. I think that series divisionally or conferencely is better. The Western Conference, it would be still Chicago Nashville. It would be still Anaheim Calgary. Then it would be still okay. Everything's the same. Everything's the same in the West. So I look at that, I'm just like, wait, yeah, because Anaheim goes up there. Yep, nope, everything would be the same.
Yeah.
So I'm not really, I'm glad Nashville's taking it to Chicago.
Me too.
Not because I have personal vendetta against Chicago, I'm just tired of seeing them on TV all the time and winning.
Yeah, I'm tired of the Chicago narrative. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what it's come down to.
Scott Darling's going to come in and steal four games and he's going to win.
Oh, I hope not. Nothing against him, but, you know, I hope not.
No, they're going to, Predators are Washington. Slightly west.
See, the problem is the best thing about dynasties is also the worst thing about dynasties.
Explain.
Because
you see the same team over and over again?
Yeah, you see the same team over and over again, and they're winning, and that's, you know, it's really great, and you're curious to see how long they can keep winning. But it did, on the flip side, like, you're sick of seeing them, and you're sick of seeing them win, and you're sick of the narratives, and you're sick of the coverage, and, you know, it's like the best thing is also the worst thing because there's just too much of them.
I can understand that, I guess, but at the same time, it's just like, you know, you need someone to hate around. Like, you hate around the Penguins a lot because they keep winning a lot, and you hate the Blackhawks because they keep winning a lot, and like the Kings because just everyone there is a douchebag. And they, oh, their Twitter's great. Who cares?
No, their Twitter's not that great.
Twitter's pretty bad. It was cute at first, and then it just got terrible.
Yeah. It was like they were the cool kid, and then they wanted to keep being the cool kid, and they were trying too hard to be the cool kid. And
they become
just
Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, exactly.
Hello, fellow teenagers. I've downloaded this press release for 3 times now, and I still don't remember it's there. Okay. So you're like, all right, we got all these playoff teams. You see Stanley Cup winners. These teams go all over the place. And you're probably thinking to yourself, Jen, how can I tell who the greatest NHL team is?
Is it metrics?
Close. You have any other guesses?
Oh, God. It's a fan vote. Oh, wait. It's a journalist vote.
No, they're both equally bad. But now it's a fan vote with less Springsteen. So, I mean, I guess it's a net win. But yeah, fan vote is where it is at because the NHL wants to get you active.
Because, you know, the All-Star game goes so well with fan voting.
And we did get to John Scott moment, so, I mean, I guess that's fine. But NHL voting, it's on, it's happening. Get going. Go to NHL.com/greatest teams. And it's brought to you by SAP in the U.S. and Honda in Canada, because Honda in the U.S. is like, nah, bruh. Don't want no this. So first round of voting begins April 13th, or has begun May 4th. The top 50 teams go for second round of voting. May 18th, top 20. And then May 25th, voting ends. And then Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final, the NHL's greatest team will be announced. And I hope
and
to God.
And it'll be wrong.
I hope to God. It's going to give people something to talk about in the summer. Now, I thought this was like, all right, pick your best players and go from there. No. Yeah. Nah, bruh.
It's just what straight-up teams like the 77 Habs versus the 94 Rangers versus
even bracket style, folks. So you go to it. And you can also go to it there by going to greatestnhlteams.com. It says, and I'm showing this to you.
Okay.
So you almost knocked your cup over. So it says, boom, there it is. What does that say on the screen?
Play your first showdown.
There you go. Play your first showdown. So we're going to hit play your first showdown. And here it goes. Ready? It's digitizing all. It's like a Plinko board, and you get your two teams to stop there. So we got the 37-38 Blackhawks against the 06-07 Anaheim Ducks. Now, this is interesting because of the story you have about the Blackhawks in 38.
It's the best story.
Best story about the worst team.
Okay, so I told you their record earlier in the regular season.
You told me. You didn't tell our listening audience.
Right, but did you write it down?
I did.
And okay.
I have it right here on the screen.
What is it?
14-25-9. 11 games under 500.
And that is the worst record, regular season record, to go on and win a Stanley Cup. That is the NHL record right there. For worst record to go on and win a Stanley Cup.
So who do you got in this? You have the 38 Blackhawks, you got the 07 Ducks. I mean, it's really hard to decipher who's the better team here.
It's apples versus elephants. I mean, different playoff formats, different...
Who you got? This doesn't work unless the fans vote. Yeah. If the fans don't understand things.
Yeah, like... You know, of course they're going to vote the Ducks, because who cares about the 38 Hawks? Like, I mean, the 38 Hawks are a good team. They had several very good players on that team. Their coach was the first American coach to win a Stanley Cup. They had a Hall of Fame, I think they had a Hall of Fame goalie. Don't quote me on that one, but I know he was a really good goalie. Mike Krakus? Something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were quite talented. They just couldn't seem to win in the regular season. And the playoff format was different in 38, as we already talked about. And, you know, it's rules, like some of the NHL rules were different. I mean, it's just, this is a bullshit kind of way to do this.
Who you got, though?
Oh, I'm going to go for the 38 Blackhawks.
All right, there we go. 38 Blackhawks. Let's pick that. And 30% of people in that matchup have picked the 38 Blackhawks.
Good for them.
The other ones picked the Ducks because it was the first team since 25 on the West Coast to win the championship. And win this.
And I bet within that percentage, like say 20 to 30% simply voted for it because of Temu being
on
the team.
He is the profile picture on this.
See?
It was also that was 10 years ago.
I know.
That's weird. All right, next showdown. Let's see what we got next. The 1927 Senators and the 1996 Avalanche.
Oh, God, that's a tough one. Those were both really good teams.
Yep.
Of the highest order, good teams, like dominant players.
It's rough. I mean, because the 96 team was improbable for the Avalanche, and if they didn't have Patrick Wall, who knows where that team would have went.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
I would go with the Senators.
Yeah, me too.
They were very dominant for that era.
They were, especially even in that era, considering. So, huzzah, huzzah for that. I'm going to put online that we're picking the NHL's greatest team. I have to find Sutterstrom, but there we go.
It's like the Wheel of Fortune, I mean.
It is. Let's see. In this matchup, 18% picked the Ottawa Senators. Of course. Not shocked, because there's been so much ranting. No one gives a shit in the NHL about anybody past 1950.
No.
All right, you know, another old school, new school matchup: the 98 Red Wings against the 28 Rangers.
I'd have to go with the Red Wings.
Yeah, that was a team, like that was a friggin' team. Boy howdy. So in that one, 82-18 on that one for the Red Wings.
No whammy.
49 Leafs against the 14 Kings. I'd have to pick the Leafs, because that Kings team was not memorable at all.
No. And that Leafs team was actually had. Yeah, that Leafs team is
60-40 to the Kings. Recency bias playing a huge part.
As it will.
Next showdown. 90 Oilers, 42 Leafs. Remember, this is the Oilers post-Gretzky.
Yeah.
Post-real dynasty.
Yeah.
Post-anything of substance.
Yeah.
But that's 5th and 7 years, too. A lot of the core was still there. The guy they traded Andy Moog for in Bill Ranford won the series for the Oilers for all intents and purposes.
Yeah. Like, they were a good team, but they weren't a great team. So I think I'd probably go with
42 Leafs, also the first team to come back from 03 to win it. So
yeah, I'd go with the Leafs.
A lot more adversity there. All right, 23-77. All right, last one before we move on. Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Hello, my ragtime gal. Oh, this is one for you.
Oh, God.
The 77 Canadians
against
the 46 Canadians.
Oh, dear God. I'd probably have to say the 77 Canadians just because they were so ridiculously dominant. Like,
over the punchline.
Yeah, and that kind of kills me, but.
Wow. Yeah. Over the punch. Well, I mean, Canadians 60, 80, and 12.
Yeah, they set.
And then
set,
12 and 2 in the postseason.
Yeah, they set all sorts of records that year. Like, just ridiculousness. And they would be my vote for greatest cup team. Like, full stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, you can't argue that, so we'll pick that. In the matchup of Les Abidons, 85-15. Percentage on
for
the Habs of the 77.
Yeah.
So you can go to NHL.com/greatest teams or greatestnhlteams.com or something like that. It should be on their website all over the place because they're loving this. Surprisingly enough, I bet you no one's going to give a damn anything post-60 unless they're Leafs fans and they'll go, ah.
Yeah.
Or pre-60, I'm sorry. So recency bias is what it is, but that's also the only NHL for not pimping out all the other teams that they have.
Yeah. No, the NHL likes to pretend that nothing really existed before, like, 1946.
Even then, I would say.
They don't even... I mean, even then, they barely pretend like anything existed outside of, like, Gordie Howe, Ted Lindsay,
and... It was players. It was individuals. It wasn't teams at all.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's only the NHL for not... For sort of saying, hey, the original six is a thing. Okay, well, what happened from there to 67? And then just throw their hands up and not knowing what the hell to do. So,
yeah.
But we got some stories. We got some stories here. So I got a whole list here. A lot of these are Stanley Cup stories.
Yes.
So I almost want to save for the Stanley Cup show.
Okay. Then just pick one and.
Oh no, there's a couple I can pick.
Okay.
You were going to say something before I stopped.
No, I have a couple of others I can talk about too. So
the first one I want to get to is, and I have it right here. This is how I wrote it, because you went on about whatever things, and I had to condense into a small line.
Uh-huh.
Scotty Bowman fucking shit up.
Oh.
As I aptly name it.
Okay, so Scotty Bowman was into gamesmanship. Like, if he could mess with you, he would. His own players, the opposing coach, whatever. He would do things like shorten the opposing bench. And by shorten the bench, I don't mean he, you know, managed to remove a player from the lineup. I mean, he literally shortened the physical bench.
How is that legal? Like, how are...
Well, it's not something that they go in and measure necessarily. So
it like takes off like a quarter inch here and there. And
no, so he took off like enough for a player.
that's noticeable. Why doesn't the opposing coach go, no, I was here like 12 hours ago. Something's changed here.
There were complaints filed against him for it. Nothing much really happened. He would do things like have the opposing locker room painted the day before the team arrived, you know, so it was still full of paint fumes and whatever. I mean, if he could find a way to disrupt the opposing team, he would do it.
Never get you a leg up, I guess. Like,
yeah, like he wasn't completely malicious. Like he wouldn't go so far as to destroy equipment or sabotage the trainer's area or anything really.
Well,
but,
that's nice of him.
Well, I mean, that's the sort of thing that could get you in serious
exactly.
trouble. So he wouldn't do that. But, you know, if he could, you know, take all of the rolls of tape that they're mandated to provide and put them not in this cupboard but that cupboard and make them hunt around for it, then he would do that. You know, like any little thing he could do. But, yeah, one opposing coach came in and measured the bench. It was like, wait a minute, this is off. I demand you fix this. So,
whereas Robbie Fatorik will just throw an entire bench on the ice. So, I guess cutting it down is not a big deal.
I can't imagine trying to get ready in a room full of paint fumes, though. Like,
you can manage. Paint. It depends on how you adapt. I like paint fumes, which I guess says something about me. In all honesty,
yeah.
What about the poop incident?
The poop. Oh, so in 75? Yeah, 75. The Islanders went to Madison Square Garden to play the Rangers. Well, of course, the circus had just recently been in town, and there was some elephant poop lying around, and they were joking about it. And then they won the game. They beat the Rangers, which was a huge thing because the Rangers in the 70s were a very strong team. And so then they decided that maybe this elephant poop was good luck, and they carried it around with them the rest of their playoff run. They carried a sack of elephant poop with them. Yeah.
Little did they know that in the future, the poop would come back to haunt them in Nassau Coliseum. Just raining down on the visiting locker room and their own locker room.
Yeah.
Oh. Can't believe they updated that. It's like polishing up a turd. Just wreck it down and build from scratch. But you mentioned the circus.
Yes.
What, like, why, how did the Rangers manage that then?
Well, for many years, Madison Square Garden's priority was with the circus and not the Rangers because of the circus, apparently. Paid more or...
Probably paid more and got more.
Yeah. And so the priority was when the circus was in town, the Rangers were not. And so the Rangers quite often had to play their home, quotes, playoff games someplace else, like a neutral site, typically Toronto. So it was until...
It seems the shortest distance.
Yeah. And so they played their home playoff games in Toronto until, like, 1968, something.
I thought you said 58.
58, yeah.
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 Which is odd that they had the circus that late, but, you know, you have the circus strip for the Blackhawks, or had the circus strip for the Blackhawks early in the
middle
of the season.
Until just...
Recently.
Until what, last year?
I think last year or this year they had
got
rid of that.
Yeah. The interesting thing about that is the 1950 Stanley Cup. They played the Red Wings, and the Rangers did not host a single home game.
Perfect.
They had two home games in Toronto instead.
Toronto.
So, yeah. Some weirdness.
Poop incident. Oh, of course, how can we forget? Have another donut, Don. Have another donut. So this was the Jimmy Schoenfeld incident, where he goes after Don Karhowski after a mishmash of calls, and then the referees union said, Stu Gotts, we're out of here. Mm. And then the replacement refs happened.
Well, and part of the problem here is that the NHL president was out of town, and nobody knew where he was. Like, he is an intensely private person.
Ziegler, yeah.
Yeah. And so he's out of town. No one knows where he is. No one really knows how to get a hold of him. They finally, you know, call him. But at this point, it's already a little bit too late. So you don't have the NHL president there to step in and go, whoa, boys, let's sit down and talk about this. It was, you know, he's gone. So it's left to O'Neill, I think?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so it's left to O'Neill, who's not, you know, the best.
I don't know what I'm doing here, guys!
And then, so the... he suspended Kucharski, and the rest of the referees were like, well, screw that. We're, you know, solidarity, brother. And then there's the injunction, and then there's the replacement referees, and the replacement referees are some local guys that they ended up wearing the, like, the Devil's warm-up pants as part of their game uniform. Like, it was just, or they ended up wearing someone's warm-up pants as part of their game uniform, because the three of them did not have matching, obviously, did not have matching stuff. I remember I read a story about where these three replacement refs walked through the Devil's dressing room, because you had to go through part of it to get to the tunnel to the ice. And I asked Ken Danico what he said, because they didn't quote him in the article, but apparently he said something that left everybody just laughing hilariously. And I said, you know, what'd you say? And he said, oh, I just looked up and said, hey, there goes Larry Curly and Moe. You know, so, I mean, it was just a very, very strange situation where you have guys who are in no way trained and ready to call an NHL game.
Yeah. So that was fun. That was an incident that lasts on forever and ever. Yeah, what, any more stories? We're at 40, just FYI. We're at runtime 45.
Oh, sure.
I have
a couple.
We got, like, 42 run, like, after I edit, so.
Yeah. So there is a guy nicknamed Sudden Death.
Sudden Death?
Sudden Death.
Is it Jean-Claude Van Damme?
No, actually. Mm.
Great movie. Not really.
It's a player from the original, from the pre-original Six era. His name is Mel Hill, and he played for the Bruins. And in the semifinals in 1939, he scored three sudden death goals in a row to beat the Rangers and go on and win the Stanley Cup. So, and the funny thing is, like, the entire playoff run, he had six goals total, and three of them were OT game winners. So I guess if you're going to score a goal, make it count.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he got the nickname Sudden Death. And that's a story that you'll hear every once in a while. And that's also a record. I don't believe anybody's beaten that yet.
Sudden Death series winners?
So three overtime goals in a row in the playoffs. I don't believe anybody's beaten that yet. I'll have to check.
Jelena had, not even in a row, so I can't even say Jelena had. It's hard to do, because there's very rarely three games in a row that go to overtime.
Right. Like, the last time I remember games going to overtime constantly was the 93 Habs. They had 11. Yeah. That was kind of ridiculous, too. Did you know that Gordie Howe almost died in the 1950 playoffs?
Tell me more.
He got checked by Teeter Kennedy of the Leafs, and he hit his head on the ice.
Ooh.
And he hit his head very hard. And he ended up with a skull fracture and needed emergency surgery and recovery and all of that. And Teeter got beat up pretty badly. Like, I have a photo of Teeter trying to drink a soda after a game, and, like, his hands are mashed up and his face is mashed up. Yeah, so Gordie Howe almost died during the 1950 playoffs.
Interesting.
Yeah.
If you have more stories, we can do that, or we can pick more NHL greatest teams.
Well, I can tell you a couple more.
Go ahead.
All right, so the Devils are playing the Rangers in the Eastern Conference Final, and Keenan decided to pull Richter and play Glenn Healy. And then Glenn Healy was like, what the hell? Okay, I need my helmet. So he sent the trainer to go get his helmet or his mask from the dressing room. And so they're waiting, and Dan Marelli skates over and is like, what are you doing? Let's get this game going. And Healy had to say, I'm really sorry, but I don't have my helmet. Marelli's like, why not? And Healy's like, because I don't play. So there's a funny little, like, game story for you. Let's see what else I have. Oh, during the 81 playoffs, The Flames were facing the North Stars. They were about to be eliminated. The owner comes in.
God, who was it then?
I want to say it was Nelson Scobania.
Yeah, that sounds right at that time.
Yeah. Anyway, the Flames owner came in, wrote on the chalkboard, each player would have 2 tickets to Hawaii if they won. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, considering what they made at the time, you know, that's kind of a good incentive. And then he taped a telegram from Celtics coach Bill Fitch on the chalkboard. And it read, "Tradition comes from the heart and a willingness to work hard. The Celtics are such a team. We rebounded from a 3-1 deficit against Philadelphia. In the Flames, I see the same type of character. I see no reason why you can't do the same." And they went out and won the game and then lost the series.
Here you go. Another Hawaii for you.
Yeah. Oh, then there's that time that Hasek threw his blocker at Bondra.
Yeah, well, shocking.
Well, Bondra checked him, right?
No, Hasek went over to the corner. Bondra bumped him. Didn't even check him. Like, kind of incidental contact. And he flopped around.
Yeah, because like, it was an accident. I remember it being an accident. And then Hasek just kind of lost it and chucked his, like... It's on YouTube.
Yeah.
You can watch it.
You know what? As much as I respect Hasek, I think it's overrated.
Yeah.
He played in a good system.
Here's a cap story, but it's about Tiikkanen.
That's all the time we have for this show, ladies and gentlemen. You've been listening to Sasha. I want to hear a Tiikkanen story. I really don't. Not right now, after you heard me on Wednesday just yelling at him.
Okay, how about Matthew Barnaby robbery story?
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, so...
Same team at the time?
Yeah.
Okay, Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, so in 98, first round, they were playing the Flyers. The two of them got ejected for abusing the referee.
Sounds about right.
All right, so the two of them then proceed to cause $3,200 in damage to the visitors' locker room. Barnaby picked up Ray's broken stick and smashed it to splinters during this rampage. And Ray said, "What? Wasn't it broken enough for you?" And Barnaby replied, "I didn't want to ruin any of my own."
That works.
So, you know.
It would have been even better if this was a home game for them and they just went to the Flyers' locker room and just wrecked things.
Well, you know, they're not the only ones who've wrecked things during a playoff game.
Eddie Belfour! I think that was a regular season game, was it? Eddie Belfour thing? I know it's in Vancouver. I know he destroyed a VCR in the late 90s, so...
Yeah,
I don't know if it's a playoff game or...
We'll have to check. I know Patrick Roy did it too, but I think he did it during a regular season game as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, these things happen.
Oh, Patrick Roy's Statue of Liberty save.
Eh.
Oh, man. You know, as a Habs fan, I appreciate his skill and what he did with the team, but I never liked him. I still don't like him. Like, I guess everyone has that one person on the team that they cheer for that they just don't like, don't care for. And that was it for me.
I can't find anything other than Eddie Belfour wrecking the locker room. Oh, why am I yawning so much?
I don't know.
Jesus. Anyway, we'll figure that out for next week, I guess.
We could do a whole thing on goalie tantrums.
Yeah, we can. We should next
week. We really could.
All right, let's pick a couple more greatest teams.
All right.
78 Canadiens or 68 Canadiens?
Probably 68. 70. Well. Hmm.
68, they swept the Blues. Like.
Yeah, but the Blues actually performed pretty decently. So.
Yeah, first year expansion team. 78 was kind of just meh. Lost only 10 regular season games.
Yeah, so probably have to go with the 78.
78, here we go. In this matchup, 74 picked the 78. Why don't they have this thing about the greatest NHL runner-up teams? again, 90 Oilers or 75 Flyers?
Oh, the 75 Flyers.
In a walk, but only 34% of other people have picked them. Because I guess Edmonton finally got on this really quick. We got the 08 Red Wings and the 02 Red Wings. That 02 team was freaking stacked.
Yeah, I'd say 02.
That was a stacked team.
Yeah, definitely 02.
And 69% have picked the 02. That was like the last great stacked team.
Yeah.
76 Canadians and the 30 Canadians.
I'd probably have to say 76.
Yeah, because that was during their, that was the regain of their thing. 86% of people agreed with us. I don't care. I don't want to choose a team. Caps aren't in here ever. 67 Leafs, 75 Flyers. 67 Leafs, the story. It's made a song after them.
Yeah.
It was like the last of the original six trademark era. Flyers, the first expansion team to win.
Yeah. Well, and the Flyers were the starting point of a new era, too. With coaching and all of that.
Coaching and players and drafting and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. 67, they had the oldest goalie to hit the...
Oldest lineup in Stanley Cup history ever.
Yes.
12 members over the age of 30. 7 players over 35.
Yeah. It was a big last hurrah for Sawchuk and...
Was Sawchuk on that team?
Yeah.
Backup?
It was Sawchuk and Bauer.
Mm.
And then the backups were Gamble, Gary Smith, and Al Smith.
Mm. Hi.
So.
Who you got?
I don't know. I would probably say... I'd probably have to go with the Leafs.
And 32% of people agree with us. Last one. I almost want the bracket format now because this randomizing shit's god-awful because we got the 67 Leafs against the 96 Avalanche. I almost have to go 96.
Yeah.
So 96 and 58% of people will pick the Avalanche. So there we go. Yeah, I want a bracket format. This randomizing thing is garbage.
Yeah, no, it's nonsensical.
All right, that's it.
You've got birthday lounging around to do.
But I'm just tired of talking. Just tired of talking. I think I get because I got. Well, mom's got a call. You know how long those things take.
That's true.
And apparently, I need to be up and moving because my blood flow is terrible.
Mm.
So, you can find me at Scotty Waz on Twitter, on the Face Off Hockey Show every Wednesday on this show, and you can find this show on Twitter at SDR Strong Bubble. They can find you at
NHL History Girl.
And you can find us every weekend here on the Face Off Hockey Show Media Regime. So for Jen, I'm Scott. Take care of yourself and someone else. This has been the Soderstrom Bubble on the Face Off Hockey Show Media Regime. We'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.